Let's stand to our feet for a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, as we turn to deliver this message, we pray that we may know the unction of the Spirit of God. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive and obey. And may this be a time of salvation for the lost, a time of a refreshment and a recovery for the backslider, and a time of blessing for those that walk with God in the light of His countenance. And to this end, I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God, He undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Be seated, please. I just want to say that there is an announcement carried in the Revivalist that next Lord's Day is the day we're having our final service of my ministry here. So many people said they had visitors coming on the following Lord's Day that we thought we'd better change it. So it's not that I have fallen out a week too early. It is the fact that some people are not hungry for another week, and they will be able to come and enjoy the service next Lord's Day. I don't know how you would feel if you were in the position that I'm in. I don't know what the first thing would come to your mind and to your heart and to your inmost soul. I have been a long time in this area. I have outlived all the other Christian workers in the area. I have had more funerals, more weddings, and more ructions than any other minister in that area. And you can say, well, that wouldn't be very hard for you to do. But that's so. But here we are at the end of a very long period of time. All I can say today is this: thank God for what God has done. To God be the glory. I'm hearing practically every day from people who have been saved through my ministry during these past long years. I had some very pleasant exchanges with people that I had forgotten all about, but they hadn't forgot. And thank God the blessed Jesus hadn't forgot them. They were safely in the fold. And I'm sure when Christian workers arrive in the glory land, they're going to meet many people they knew nothing about the power of their own private behavior and testimony, but that brought about a lasting fruit. And for the lasting fruit, we can say amen and amen. My mind has been turned at this time to this great a chapter of Genesis, which brings to us all a very, very strange character. A man with a name that is strange, whose appearance is strange, whose words are strange. Melchizedek. The trumpets of all heaven sound when this great personage takes the stage. Every instrument that God has in his innumerable numbered of musical instruments sounds to greet this great and terrible person. Go through your Bible and you will find very little mention of this person. He is unusual because while in our translation of the Hebrew, we call him Melchizedek. Yet the meaning of his name, we really cannot tell. We know how to spell it out from the Hebrew, but what does it really mean? Some of the great linguists tells us that it means the greatest champion that ever stood upon this earth. And of course we could go with that. Thank God for the captain of our salvation. Thank God for the one who is King of kings and Lord of lords. And of course, part of the joy and the thrill and the excitement and the eternal blessing of heaven will be to learn to know as we never knew on earth. This wonderful Melchizedek, to hold his hand, what a thrill it will be, to touch the mark of the nail-pierced hand, what a joy it will be, to look on a face that was marred more than any man, and whose form was marred more than the sons of men. To look upon the one who gave his back to the smiter and his cheek to those plucked off the hairs. Oh, we will stand there in awe, in wonderment, in miraculous glory. But something even more strange. We're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. A heaven of people like Jesus. It baffles me. I think of the little chorus, that will be glory for me. When I look in his face, that will be glory for me. But the name must wait for an eternity before we can really know its height and its depth and its length and its other dimensions. The trumpets, all heaven, go silent as the Lord, the King of Kings, walks down the broad highway of the New Jerusalem. I don't know how it's going to happen, because all heaven is a multitude of miracles. Heaven is a multitude of real wonder, miraculous power let loose. I take up my Bible. I turn to the book of Genesis. And I read, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Just take that verse. Melchizedek, the linguists say, is the record name of someone who has totally and absolutely prevailed over all his enemies. Every enemy of Christ destroyed. Every power that took out the flag and declared war on Christ, gone. Eternal peace. Peace that is the very nature of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That peace will be in heaven. But isn't it strange that this unusual person, this person who receives scant mention in the whole of the Old and New Testaments and the Bible, isn't it wonderful to think that he appeared with bread and with wine? He brought, it says, Genesis 15:17, bread and wine. You'll notice the order is right. He brought bread. I could never have been a Christian. I could never have known the cleansing if he had not brought the bread. What was the bread? The bread was the type of God Almighty taking union into his deity of our humanity, so that forever his nature was changed to be the God-man, the man Christ Jesus. And the first thing that's in his hand, what is it? It's bread. He brought bread. I sat and I wondered at that, bringing bread. What did he bring? He brought a body. A body that was a wonder to heaven. A body that has been the wonder of theology and the gospel forever and ever. God, who was from all eternity to all eternity, Spirit, the second person of the triune one God, and now he brings bread. A wonderful thing has happened. God Almighty has identified himself with mankind, who are sinners, condemned, unclean. And the glorious Messiah appears. But he appears with the token of the body of the supreme sacrifice. What was it that was wounded for you on the cross? It was his body. What was it that was tormented on the cross? It was his body. What was it that pained the God Almighty incarnate on the cross? It came through his humanity. God loved the world of sinners lost. Sinners lost, condemned, unclean. And the one who could not be stained gave himself to be stained with his own body. It is beyond description. It's beyond imagination. It's beyond definition. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Redemption bought at high cost. He offers free for all. Oh, 'twas love. 'Twas wondrous love, the love of God for me. It brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. Think of it, that the everlasting God, the God who had seen all of time pass him, as he ruled in the highest of the heavens, that God brought the bread. Here is my body. You need a carrier for your sin, sinner. I'll carry it. You need someone to bear the strokes of punishment for your rebellion against the good Lord of Mount Zion. I'll give my body, guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement can it be? Hallelujah. He's my Savior. But that body has a power The life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. What is the power of the Savior's body? Well, it tells me he brought forth bread and wine. Wine, which only comes through death, through the clumping and taking away of the life. But he was something more than bread. He was something more than wine. Listen, he was the priest of the Most High God. Tell me, what does a priest do under the Old Testament economy? He takes his place and pleads for the one he represents. There's a man in the glory now as I preach. He speaks eternal prayers. He strongly pleads for me. Forgive, oh forgive, he cries, nor let the ransomed sinner die. I go forward through a veil that is rent. I stand at a mercy seat that has not one drop of wrath left in it, for it has been drained dry by the mighty, mighty substitution of the Son of God. I fall upon my knees. I cannot lift my eyes. The atmosphere is so tense. But I learn that he is the priest of God. No. He's the priest of the Most High God. We have reached the apex. When we reach Christ, we stand on the summit. When we meet Christ, we have gained the Everest of the highest mountain. When we stand with Christ, where are the people of God today that are saved and in the Father's house? They're in the highest place that heaven affords. It's theirs through him by sovereign right. And he had a blessing with him. I love that. This one who came from the brightest of glory, whose blood was a ransom for me, he came with something for me. And what did he come with? He came with the bread. He came with the blood. But he came with himself. He gave himself a ransom for the many. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rising, he demonstrated that it was love that could never die again, because death is finished. And life reigns supreme. Oh, 'twas love, 'Twas wondrous love, the love of God to me, that brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. Think for a moment of the think for a moment at the recognition that Christ has in his heart now for what he did on earth. Think with me of the holy, spotless Son of God and what he thinks now of his visit to this orbit of ours. What does he think now of all that took place in those 33 years of the visitation of the mighty Creator to his own creation? What does he think now? There is in the heart of Christ at this moment a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Because at the end of his incarnation and atonement, he completed the work his Father had appointed him to do. There's nothing else needs to be done. We don't need a repetition in a mass service, a pretense that they can repeat what Jesus has eternally done. Finished! 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 Every angel takes up his harp, and every born again one in the glory parade seizes their trumpet, and heaven today re-echoes with one word: finished! No longer shall I die. No longer will I be committed to hell. No longer shall I dread the darkness of damnation. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. My happy soul is free, for God has pardoned me. Hallelujah to his blessed name. I do believe it. I do believe it. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. My happy soul is free. The Lord hath pardoned me. Hallelujah to his blessed name. The reflections of Christ and my reflection taught to me by the Holy Spirit are one cemented by his blood, one baked in the same bread, one because Christ is my Savior and the lover of my soul. I don't know what will happen when we die, and what is the first thing is going to come to us as we depart this life. And as redeemed ones, we go to the heavenly abode and take our place in the streets of gold and stand in the river of life, at the river of life, and sit under the shadow of the trees of glory land. I don't know, but this I know, that for all eternity, I will be in a place that's the same place as gives God his deity and atmosphere. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. How cheap is this world? How sinful is this age? How filthy is this hemisphere? But oh, thank God, we're only passing through. We're only passing through. Soon shall the winters for us be finished. Soon the summers for us will be forgotten. Soon the spring for us will be lost in the glory and sight of the one who doeth all things well. And the greatest of all our joys in heaven will be, I shall be like him, for I shall see him as he is. Face to face, I'll see him as he is. O Lord Jesus, I will cry, thank you for your death. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your life's blood. Thank you for your agony. Thank you for the separation from your blessed Holy Spirit and God the Father. Thank you, you paid it all to sin I owed. Sin had left a crimson stain. You washed me white as snow. The wonder of heaven will never be exhausted. The glory of the Holy Land can never be described. We are going to God's house, to the great, the holy, and only one, God the Father's house. And it's going to be my house. I'm not going to be a tenant. I'm going to be the liver in. I'm going to live in with him. I'll not say to you, do you want to see through our house? I'm going to say to you, I'm going to show you my house. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. Glory for me. When by his grace, I look in his face. That will be glory for me. But there may be someone here this morning, and you have no place in the city divine. There is no house for you. There is no peace for you. Oh, let me say it. With tears in mine eyes, no place for you. Your place will be the place of the damned, the Christ rejecter, the sinner who wouldn't repent, the man who spat upon the blessed Savior as he died in his place instead. How can you do it? To turn from such love, how hard your heart must be. To say no to such a Savior, what diabolical filth has stained your soul forever. Lost! I hear the demons cry. Lost! I hear the damned in hell exclaim. Lost! I hear the thunders of the wrath of Almighty God. But thank God there's another side. There's another word. It's the word saved. Saved by grace alone. This is all my prayer. Jesus died for all mankind. But Jesus died for me. Dear sinner, I'd like to close this sermon today by urging you, by the grace of God, to turn while the Spirit in mercy is pleading. Steer for the harbor bright. For how do you know? But your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. Don't let the devil damn you. Cry out, and Christ will save you and save you forevermore. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. May God fill the empty places of heaven. May we see signs following the preaching of his eternal truth. And may we see something of the glory of God in the face of the Son of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O God, our Father, we thank Thee today for the joy that is in our hearts. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was dead, but now I live. Once hell was the proper place for me, but now heaven is my delight. And my home, and it's mine, mine, mine. Oh God, come and deal with every sinner in this house, and deal with every sinner around it, and oh, may there be a coming to Christ. May there be the cry, what must I do to be saved? And may the answer ring out, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Oh, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come to this place and make it a holy place, a happy place, a blessed place for some poor sinner. Make it the birthplace for eternity. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with us all, now and forevermore. And the people of God say, Amen. Amen.